I am really, really excited to be here this morning. I mean, I love Christian colleges, and Dallas Christian College is right here at home. I live just right across town, so it's really exciting to be with you. But I also know it's really a challenge when you're in Bible college. I mean, you're getting a fire hose worth of spiritual information poured at you, and it can get to where you don't expect to have a life-changing experience during a chapel message. You're just really kind of thinking about lunch or, what's going to happen next or the assignment you have. Just want to invite you right now to start focusing your mind. I've been praying that God would use this time that some people's lives would be completely changed because of what they hear this morning. And let's just take just one moment, just bow your head, and join me in praying this one two-sentence prayer. Lord, here we are. Send us. Lord, speak. Your servants are listening this morning. We invite you now. In Jesus' name, amen. I know, especially here at a Bible college, people want their lives to have long-term impact, right? You want your life to mean something? Is that true? I mean, who here would rather that they not have long-term impact in their life or not really leave a legacy behind? Go ahead and raise your hand. You got a few out there, okay? Some honest folks out there. For me, that's really where it's all at for me. I want my life to matter in the long run to God. So, you know, I've spent a lot of time thinking about what is it that really, really works? What is it that really, if you kind of orient your life around these kind of activities and these kind of things and this kind of worship and what have you, what really, really makes a difference? You know, I started thinking about this one day when I was out in West African jungle. You know, it's kind of my natural habitat, and I do wear clothes and stuff. And I'm walking along, and you're out there just really in some remote area hunting or whatever, and you look up, and there's a big grove of mango trees, like 40 feet tall. And you're looking around, there's nobody there now. You're like, you know, somebody was here. They planted these trees, their house is gone. Their family's gone. They're probably long dead. But their trees that they planted are bearing more fruit now than they did in their lifetime. Think about what it means to have a long-term impact and have fruitfulness long after you're gone. Up the hill from my house in West Africa, there's an old missionary's house that came in the 1930s. And they built a house, and they ended up having a church up there. The house has fallen down. Their well is filled in. Their church building fell down while I was there and was completely taken away. They took the foundation of their house and built a dance hall on it. You might be tempted to think there wasn't any long-term impact just to look at the stuff. But one day, I was in town, in the main town in our area, and the mayor of that town, Farana, he came over to me, and he took me aside like he was going to sell me drugs or something, you know. And he took me aside, and he's looking around, make sure no other Muslims are seeing him because he's a Muslim. And he started singing. He started singing hymns, like Margi Yesu Dubatigi Anye Barka Bilaye. I'm like, what? And he said, when I was a little kid, the missionary lady would gather us around her piano. I was like, piano? She would gather us around her piano, and she would teach us these songs, and she would teach us about Jesus. And if you ever have a missionary coming here, tell me, because I'll make sure they get a good treatment in my town. That lady, I think she's in a nursing home somewhere in Florida. And really, her impact is long over. But the ideas about Jesus that she left behind, the meaning of the message of Jesus, the songs about Jesus, those in that man's heart were still thriving long after she was gone, kind of like those trees planted in the jungle. You could still see somebody had been here. Somebody left a permanent mark on this place with the ideas that they left behind. The most powerful thing in the world is not guns, it's not bombs, it's not oil. It's ideas that pass from parents to children. It's ideas that pass from person to person, revolutionizing the whole earth. Because Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. It's the smallest of all your seeds. Think about this. But when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants, and it becomes a tree so that the birds can nest in its limbs. All right, think about this. The kingdom of heaven is like planting ideas. It's like planting words and messages in the hearts of people, and it grows, and it grows, and it's permanent because it passes from person to person to person. For long-term impact, you need to plant ideas like trees, the kind of ideas that are there long after you're gone. You know, I lived in Guinea for all those years, and I had a house. I built two houses. I had a well. And I know from looking at this other missionary's house, the day's going to come, that house isn't there. The day's going to come, that well's filled in. And maybe all those thousands of fruit trees we planted in all the people's fields, those are going to be there for decades. But really, what am I leaving behind? This is the complete Bible in Yalunka. All 2,300 pages, including the inspired maps in the back. They have now the Word of God in their language. I mean, this is going to be the blueprint for Christianity for them for decades to come, for who knows how long to come. This is going to be every sermon that's preached, they're going to prepare it in here. Every answer to a question they have about God, they're going to dig in here for it. This is the power of God to transform culture long term, to transform lives long after I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm not there. But we're going to take a look at a video. We had the dedication of the Bible, February 3rd, and you kind of see the celebration that people went through when they, you know, people came from all over the country. Missionaries came from all over the country, but seekers, Muslims came. Seekers came. People from many, many different villages came to try to see what is this thing, this Bible that's coming out now. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. Heaven is like a mustard seed. You know, when the day comes that I go to heaven or wherever I go right after I die, I'm going to go straight to the section marked Yalunka. And when I go there, I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to find very many people in that place. There's just a few There's just a few pastors, just a few people have clawed their way into the kingdom of heaven. But because I left these ideas behind, I expect that soon after, that section's going to be filling up. There's going to be people coming. However long the Lord continues to wait, there's going to be people filling that section up. They're going to come in and they're going to say, was it you guys that actually translated that stuff? We preached from that all over the Yolongo territory. We lived that out. We studied it. I can't believe finally we're meeting the old guys who actually were there when it was translated. It's like that whole place, I just see it filling up as churches multiply. That's what it means when it says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. That's what long-term, eternal impact looks like. Do you want your life to have that kind of impact? About 18 years ago, my friend Pastor Paul, who's since then died, received the idea from the Lord to go up in the north towns where no one had ever preached the gospel. And he got on his bicycle and he rode all the way up to the village of Pasaya. And he taught the gospel there for the first time. And they said, look, we don't want Jesus in this town. We want one religion, the religion of Islam. So he left there and we left him alone till like 8 years ago. And one day I was driving through that town on my way to go to another town to distribute the Bible and hunt warthogs. When I came back through, this guy came out to the car and he said, hey, we have heard that you guys have these books about Jesus in our language, and we want some. And so I took a whole box of books of scripture, and I handed it out the window in the middle of this village because that's how we roll. And we didn't see those guys again for a long time. And then several years ago, when the dramatized audio version came out with these solar-powered machines where people can listen in the villages and hear the dramatized audio version of the whole New Testament, they went up there and they found these guys. And though the village elders had banned the Bible there, they had continued to study in secret. Probably the best thing the elders could have done. Like, they had to know what was in these forbidden books. And they studied, and they'd been studying, and here, finally, they had the opportunity to hear it themselves. And they had everybody in the village listening to this thing. And people said, hey, you know, we should try this out. 20 Muslims have now decided to follow Jesus in that place. And they're studying, they're learning, and trying. My buddy Don Sa, whom we trained in the village, first as a Bible translator, and then as an evangelist. He went there. He called me on the phone yesterday from Africa. He was so pumped. He said, I went there last night, and the people that had become Christians or had decided to follow Jesus were so depressed because everyone in the village has started to persecute them. Everybody's trying to find every way they can to persecute them financially, criticize them, publicly mock them, ask them hard religious questions to try to trip them up. And this guy, this evangelist that I trained, went all the way out there and he said, hey, you know what the mistake we're making? We're studying the Bible in secret in your homes. Let's take the church and we're going to sit at the central intersection of the village. And I'm going to stand up and preach open air instead. And if somebody wants to mock us, and if somebody wants to do it, they better do it right here while I'm here. And I'm going to preach. And 100 people came and stood there listening. And they shushed the children to make sure they heard every word of this. And he was so excited that 100 people were listening to the gospel. I'm not there anymore. But the ideas and the words of God that we left behind are now multiplying the church all over this Muslim setting. So if you want to have long-term impact in your lives, there are more things you need to know, you need to think about. Basically, what I've learned is that if you want for your ministry to go okay, you need to pray and read the Bible every day. Sounds kind of like a no-brainer. You probably heard this before. But I pretty much observe, if you pray and read the Bible every day, things are going to go okay. when you stop doing that, it's not going to work out after all. You cannot give someone something that you do not have. You must have that intimacy with God. Moses said, how will anyone know that we're any different unless you go with us? How will you be any different unless you are in the presence of God? If you aren't really good at anything in your life, be good at loving Jesus. That will serve you well. If you really want to have long-term impact, then you need to model the use of Scripture to transform lives. You know, in your ministry, somebody's going to come to you and they're going to say, hey, we've got this really hard question. What do we do about this? Or how do we solve this? Or what should we do now? And if that's an opportunity. And if at that point you say, well, I think, or if you say, well, I read on a blog, or if you say, Francis Chan said, you've missed the opportunity. Because you need to model for them how to find the answers to their questions in the Bible themselves. You need to say, I don't know. Let's go together to Scripture and discover the answer together. Because if you say, I think, when you're gone, they're going to say, boy, I wish that smart person from Dallas Christian College was here, because they would know the answer to this question. But if you do it this other way, people will say when you're gone, you know, that person didn't know much, but they did know to look in this book right here. And that will be a long-term impact. I remember, trying to get people to use Scripture among the Yalunga, and it's not always inherently obvious. This one pastor comes up to me, and I finally had translated the whole book of Psalms. So I got this book of Psalms out, and I gave it to him. I said, Paul, finally, we have the book of Psalms. And he took it in his hands, and he's like, great. What do we do with it? I was like, wait a minute. I'll think of it. Okay. Some people read a chapter of the Psalms before church. And from that day, they started reading a chapter of the Psalms. And that man's long passed away. Now they just read a chapter of the Bible at the beginning of every service. There's great power in pointing people to Scripture and teaching them how to use it themselves in a way that will feed them spiritually. I remember that we would spend time discipling the leaders of the church. Well, you know, it doesn't look like you're making any progress when you're doing it. We would have them come on Sunday afternoons after church, and they would come to our house, and we would read some Scripture, and we'd talk about, okay, here's how I would prepare a sermon from that, and here's a sermon I prepared from that, and we'd share ideas. You know, they'd start to go to sleep, so we would always serve coffee at the beginning to try to perk them up a little bit, you know, and we would have a good discussion with coffee. Coffee's important, right? Christianity probably would be like half as big as it is now, if not for coffee. And then, you know, so these guys would get all excited about it because they're all pumped up on caffeine, and then, you know, when I left, one of them came to me and he said, all those sermons that you've preached, do you still have your notes? I said, yeah. He said, because I'm going to go and preach on the radio now, and I need your notes because I want to preach all of your sermons on the radio. You don't see it happening. It's like watching the hour hand on a clock. You can kind of prove that it's moving, but you can't see it moving, can you? God and his kingdom are like that. You just can't see it changing. But if you don't give up, you'll see it when you look back. It did move. It did change. It made a permanent difference. Okay, if you want to have a permanent, long-term impact, you are the most dynamic translation of the Bible anyone will ever see. You are the translation of the Bible for the people that you encounter in your ministry. So, do something. You're just not going to have an impact unless you take some risks and do something. I remember that we had the disease schistosomiasis. Mark mentioned it. It gets through your skin when you get in the water. And 80% of the people had it. 75% of the people had it. And it was, you know, the on the downside with this disease, it'll kill you. On the upside, it takes a long time for you to die. You know, we got really tired of seeing people. I remember the day in the hospital watching somebody die from this. The guy died right in front of me, and I said, I got to do something. And so we took a big risk. We bought enough of the medicine for everyone in the village. I don't know, people could have an allergic reaction. I'm not a doctor. If somebody asked me, hey, why'd you do that? I'd have to say, well, I don't really, you know, I can't really justify it. But we took a big risk and we did that. We didn't know if it was going to work out or not. And we distributed the medicine. We had everybody weigh themselves and we gave them all this medicine. And, you know, it had some serious side effects. Especially for the sicker you are with the disease, the worse the side effects. And people came back to us and said, man, that was good medicine. Some of us, we couldn't walk for 3 days after we took But some guy decided that he wasn't going to take it because of all that stuff he'd been hearing about. And right after we left, he got sick with that disease. And to get treated, he had to sell a cow and go into town and get the same medicine we gave him. And everybody in their calculation said, you know, that's just like, you know, Greg gave us a cow each. The Muslims in that town say that the message of Jesus is more true than the message of Muhammad. And they say it because they've seen the results of the love of Jesus in their own lives. That's, if you want to have impact, you've got to be the translation of the Bible. You've got to do something. If you want long-term impact, you got to hold lightly to possessions and cling to people. I just want you to see one place in Scripture. We don't really teach this to our kids. We don't teach kids. We teach our kids they have to share their possessions. We don't teach them that they don't own anything. But Jesus says in Luke 14:33, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. That's the most radical thing anyone's ever said in the world. But we teach our kids, No, you know, they're saying, mine. We grow up, keep saying the same thing, we just do it more subtly. And we teach them, you say, no, you have to share that with your sister, but it is yours. We should be teaching them, actually, you don't own anything. We used to tell our children this. It might be child abuse in the States, I don't know. You know, we say, no, you don't own anything. Nothing is yours. Nothing is mine. There is no mine in this world. If you own anything, you give it to Jesus right now. It's not yours. Remember that. Cling to people and not to possessions. All right. I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but you're going to die. And you want this life that you're living now and the choices you're making now to make a difference. Maybe not everybody wants that, but there's something about it that's appealing. That people would look back on your life and say, if it hadn't been for what God did in that person's life, all of this would never have happened. So think about it. If you want to make long-term impact, you need to plant ideas like trees. You need to pray and read your Bible every day. You need to model the use of Scripture for life transformation. You need to be the dynamic translation of the Bible, and you need to cling to people and not possessions. There was this girl that came to us for help when we were living in the village, and she had, we eventually found out she had tuberculosis. And when I went to help her into my car to take her to the hospital, she couldn't climb up in the car, she was too weak. And I went to help her, and I touched her back with my hand. And her ribs were like washboard kind of a feel. There was no fat on this child. She was just like a skeleton. And, you know, my fingers kind of intermeshed with her ribs as I was helping her up. And I realized this kid is very close to dead. And we took her into the hospital because she needed help. She didn't have a Bible. She didn't have a way to read. She didn't have a church. but she didn't have food. She didn't have health. She was on her way to die from tuberculosis. Does that matter to you? Think about it. I mean, like if I was over there and I was, you know, this lady comes up, this girl comes up, and I'm like, okay, hold on, I need some help here. I'm going to call a DCC student. Hold on. And I call you up on the phone and I say, not you, Siri. I say, she's so annoying. And I'm like, hey, there's this girl here, and yeah, she's dying of tuberculosis. She needs somebody to take her into the hospital. And hold on a minute. Do you have a Bible? No, she also says she doesn't have a Bible. Yeah, I know, right? Okay, and yeah, she doesn't have a church either. And she doesn't have any food. And she doesn't have a way to make a living. And you just go on and on and on. Would it matter enough for you to go buy a plane ticket and show up and help? But what if it was not just one kid? What if I told you that there's 200 million people that live in places like that, 900 different language groups where they have no scripture at all, and their language group is only spoken by unreached people groups, basically no church. And they live in places where they make only a dollar a day and really can't provide for their own food. They really can't provide for their own health care. What if we called you and we said, would you come help us? Would you come help us? We want to do 250 translation projects, church planting projects, medical, literacy, you know, all kinds of things we want to do, all kinds of ways we want to bring Christianity to these people, to people like this young girl. Would you come if we called you? What if Jesus called you? Would you come? So I'm going to close with prayer. And really, in a way, what we're trying to do in Pioneer Bible Translators, you saw that in the video, we're trying to start and finish 250 projects by 2050. And we're going to focus almost all of them on places where there's no church and no scripture. And we need teams of people to form with every different kind of skill to go to these places and make that difference for them. And so I'm really inviting you here now to totally change direction and to pray about it and say, is God sending me to this place and to these people in Asia, in Indonesia, somewhere in Papua New Guinea, somewhere in the Caucasus Mountains, somewhere in Iran, can't go there, find a way, I don't know. Somewhere are there people that God longs to send you to. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be with these students. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you were here and that you are moving in the lives of some. I know, Lord, that you will not call all of these people to go. But I know, Lord, that you are calling more than will go. I pray, Lord, that you will teach us how to perceive your leading in our lives accurately and ask ourselves the question, what did you create us for? I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.